Tim Graham, NFL writer with The Athletic, and a frequent guest on the station, a frequent co-host of mine in the days that I used to occupy the studio in the 4 to 7 hours. Tim, welcome back to TSN 1050. How you doing?
Thanks for having me on. Anytime, and you know that. I love doing it.
Excellent, excellent. So, with the Buffalo Bills, it feels like every year we are asking, is this the year that something breaks out of the ordinary? Is this the year that something breaks out of the ordinary?
Before I answer the question, I want to apologize for any background noise. I'm at a hotel in Charlotte right now where the Bills play the Panthers tomorrow night. And I tried to step outside to get some quiet, and I would melt. So I'm back in the air conditioning.
Okay, we got you.
It is no joke here. So, yeah, you might get a little lobby music coming through the speaker. But it's this could be the year, yeah. And I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far, both on paper and in the practices. They just finished up two joint practices against the Carolina Panthers, going up against Cam Newton every day, I think. Can only help a team figure out where it is and what it has. And the defense, I mean, this is a division-winning caliber defense that the Bills have. And unfortunately, they happen to be in the same division as Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And, you know, it's funny, just total anecdote. I'm doing some research for a baseball story. And just came across a stat from 1961. The Detroit Tigers won 101 games that year, but the pennant race was over in late August because they were finished 8 games behind the Yankees, who won 109 games. So that's kind of like what the AFC East has been up against. You can put together a really good team in that division for going on 19 years and still have such a minimal shot. One of my favorite stats, by the way, about the Patriots is that since Tom Brady became the quarterback, the Patriots have never not had the best record in the AFC East. They've lost the division twice on tiebreakers. One time they were 11-5 and lost on the tiebreaker to those Wildcat Miami Dolphins that took the NFL by storm. So, you know, it's one of the surest bets in football for almost two decades that the Patriots are going to win the division. That puts the Bills in a position where Josh Allen is going to really have to take a big leap. And if he cannot lose games, or if that offense, which has so many added compliments around Josh Allen with guys like John Brown and Cole Beasley at receiver, the entire offensive line has been revamped, adding Frank Gore to help stabilize the backfield and also drafting Devin Singletary. Who a lot of people think could be a special player in the NFL. Josh Allen doesn't have any excuses. And if he can make a next step and play presentably on a weekly basis, the defense is good enough that the Bills could get into the playoffs this year. And I think that it's just tough to consider when you're thinking, when you haven't even played it down yet and you're probably already gunning for one of two wild card spots.
Tim, you mentioned the joint practices going on right now with Carolina, and you look at that four-game exhibition season, and I know there's been a lot of conversation or talk from the league about two more league games and potentially, you know, shortening the exhibition season to two games. With things like control practices, joint practices, do you think that's something that could happen?
I love the idea, which I just happened to come up with, I believe, on the air one day. We were spitballing with Dave. I was a guest on one day. I'd never thought of it before. It just popped into my head. We were talking about four-game schedules. And not every team does hold joint practices like the Bills and the Panthers are doing. The Bills also have gone up against the Steelers before. You know, you see it all over the NFL. A couple of teams get together. But what if the NFL were just to mandate or do a rolling schedule where you go and practice with somebody else? And, you know, the facilities today in the NFL can accommodate this. It's not like we're dealing with, you know, decrepit stadiums or facilities that can't handle another team coming in. But I would like to see the preseason schedule reduced to two games, regardless of whether the schedule goes to 16 or 18 games. But as you guys know, this is a big money grab. And the way that the NFL does it is the preseason games are up to each individual team. They're not part of the broadcasting deal. So it's 32 teams have the ability to strike their own individual broadcasting rights. Say, you know, this is where the Dallas Cowboys get to flex their muscle. A rare, you know, in the revenue sharing NFL, a rare opportunity for the powers that the powerful teams in the league to go out and flex their muscle and just to make money that they don't have to share with everybody else. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Giants or Washington, you know, all the most influential owners in the league, the New England Patriots, they don't want the preseason to go away because it's easy money. So that's what I think. It makes so much sense. I mean, we look at it even as fans, and these games are ridiculous, and you don't really learn a ton about these guys. The fourth preseason games have been turned into such jokes. The teams over the last 4 or 5 years have been signing quarterbacks off the street just to play in the last game because they don't want to get their quarterbacks hurt. They've already decided the competition. You don't want to put a quarterback out there with fourth string fringe guys trying to make the team because they're not as crisp at running their routes. So those quarterbacks aren't going to get anything out of it. Your scouts don't get anything out of it because the competition doesn't allow a player to show what he can do with all the different lesser thans on the field. And that's that. So why even bother playing that game if you're going to be signing, I don't know, whoever it was, Jordan Palmer off, you know, guy who hasn't played all summer. Let's just bring him in to play a game and then cut him the next day. I mean, that's the folly of these preseason games.
Well, it's funny because the NFL used to cut down, right, through the course of training camp. And now they essentially have one cut down day, right, where they go from 90 to 53 in September. And I assume that's so that they can keep guys around that they know they're going to cut to play in these preseason games.
That's a big part of it. You're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, hey, we need cannon fodder so we can finish out this four-game schedule that Dallas has with its local ABC affiliate. I'm just pulling out an example. I don't even know if that's the case. But they have a special deal with their TV partner in Dallas. The Giants have it with a station in New York, you know, the Rams and all these big markets. They just go out to, they get to say, all right, we're going to sell you four games here that is not part of the CBS, Fox, ESPN package. We get to and just make a ton of money, and the box office aspect of it too. They force their fans to, when they buy season tickets, you're not buying 16, you're buying 18 games. The preseason games are included in a season ticket deal at the same price that you would have to pay for a regular season game. So it's a hostage situation if you want to be a Green Bay Packers season ticket holder, and everybody knows how long that list is. You see about it. You see it every year that it goes out. You're going to have to, because people hold on to them within their families. They can pass them down in their wills. You got to buy those two preseason games too that you're not going to go to.
Tim, I always think of you as the patron saint of bad football because you cover the Bills and you're from Cleveland.
That's right.
That could be
also
changing.
Anytime I've covered college football, it's been awful, too. I covered an 0-10 or an 0-11 UNLV team when I was living in Las Vegas.
Okay, so if you've got a football
it's not
team,
been good.
You don't want Tim Graham covering them. All right, so I'm not going to ask you if this is the year in the Browns. What I want to know is from the people you know in Cleveland, you know, friends and family, is there actually hope in Cleveland? Or has the years and years and years of what's occurred made people resistant to sort of rise up until they actually see more reason to do so this season?
You're asking me at the perfect time. Just over this past weekend, I went back to Ohio at a family event in which I was asked probably no fewer than 12 times what I think the Browns are going to do this year. And based on that, I think, you know, people are really pumped up to see. It's a curiosity. They don't seem to be as ingrained with losing like Bills fans do. Like you talk about, like this interview started off, is this going to be the years the Bills make the playoffs? There's this, we've been conditioned because we haven't seen it in so long that we can't imagine it. So even if you're talking from a purely analytical standpoint or you're trying to be as objective as you can, those biases creep into your head, even as a reporter. Like when it comes time for The Athletic, if they ask me to do a preseason or a season prediction for what the Bills' record's going to be, I always have a tendency to dial it back a game. Like I come up with what I think it might be, and I'm like, but I just can't imagine it. I haven't seen it. It's like a fantasy. And the Bills fan or Browns fans are that, but they're willing to buy in. They love Baker Mayfield can do no wrong. Do not dare try to criticize Baker Mayfield at all, or you will end up with a racetrack around your eye. It is they love what's going on there. They've made all the high profile moves, so they are buying in all in. There's no doubt that the Browns are going to win the division at least from the Graham family's perspective. And I like to think my relatives are pretty reasonable and smart. They're ready to go. They're ready for Odell Beckham, and they're ready for this defense and all the different additions, Nick Chubb and all these. Everybody's a superstar in their eyes, but it's been a long time. They don't really know what this looks like.
Yeah, it has been a while. I often say that not only do the Browns lose, but they usually put their fans out of the misery by Canadian Thanksgiving.
Well, that's the one thing I kept saying to them. They're like, how can they be beat? And I was like, you know what? You look at them on paper and they can't. But all it takes is a fist fight in the locker room, Baker Mayfield tearing his ACL, some sort of crisis. You know, Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach before. You have to manage all these personalities. There are pitfalls all throughout. You can step on landmines all over the place, and sometimes even especially more so when you have so many big egos and alpha males on your team that expect great things. So they're coming to Cleveland. They expect great things. They're borderline taking it for granted that it's going to happen. And if things go sideways for a game or two, it'll be interesting to see how that team reacts.
Great expectations in Cleveland. Thanks for this, Tim.
All right, Dave. Take care.
All right, there he is, Tim Graham of The Athletic. I always joke about,
Well, it's just great the hesitation as soon as you started to bring it up.
Oh, yeah.